We here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
You missed last week. I think you missed a great message, because I was impacted by it. I was so excited to share it. There's a few of these at the back. Happy and Healthy, part one. You can get that at the back. And then also, this is the confessions that we did recently. And we do them again from time to time. But if you want a confession bookmark, you can also. There's not many, but there's a few at the back. And I was just looking at them now, just during announcements and worship. And the last part of it says, I have abundant joy because I know God. And that just really blessed me, because, all of it blessed me. But just in the series that we're in, we're looking at being happy and healthy. And we have abundant joy because we know God. And guess what? In the world, there's not all that much joy. There's a lot of people that's unhappy. There's a lot of people that's depressed. And there's a lot of people without hope. Because there's a lot of bad news in the world. There's a lot of things happening. But guess what? We've got God and we've got the Holy Spirit. So we've got joy. Amen. Today, last week, we looked at the cure for bad news, sadness, and despair. And this morning, we're going to look at the cure for fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety. The thing with fear and anxiety is a lot of people realize that they've got fear. They realize that they're anxious. And then two things happen. First of all, they don't know how to deal with it. And they condemn themselves for it. So they don't know how to deal with fear and anxiety. And then they think, but yeah, the church and the message and the good news. So why am I still fearful if I've got Jesus? And then you start condemning yourself. And that's not a good place to be at. Because once you start condemning yourself, condemnation, this roof was condemned. That's why we weren't here for 4 years, amen? That's why we worked so hard on that side to make it feel nice, because this roof was condemned. This roof was not fit for use. So if you condemn yourself, you tell yourself, listen, I am not fit for use. I cannot be used by God. I cannot be used to make a difference. And your destiny, your purpose, your creation, your design, the very essence of who you are is to, first of all, be connected to God, and second of all, to live with a purpose. We're not just here. We're not just Amuba. We're not just evolved. We're not just like, oh, well, welcome. Let's see what this is all about. No, you are here with a purpose and with a reason. And if you condemn yourself, you tell yourself, I'm not worthy to live according to my purpose, to live according to my design, to live according to my creation, and then guess what? Why would you want to get up in the morning? There's no purpose. So that's why the good news message is so good, because it takes us into eternity with God, but it also brings heaven down to earth right now, and it gives us purpose, and it kills anxiety. It kills fear, for perfect love casts out fear. Now think of that as a bouncer. You don't need to tell me when last you saw a bouncer in a nightclub. I won't look. But a bouncer is not very nice. They will maybe come and put their hand on the shoulder. If there's someone making relocate there in the club, put his hand on his shoulder and say, listen, sir, either you stop it or you go. And then they'll walk off. And if that guy continues to cause havoc, they're going to chuck him out, literally. They'll pick him up and chuck him out. Now, my Bible says in 1 John 4 that perfect love casts out fear. So it's not your job to cast out fear. Okay, so that's good news, amen. It's not your job to deal with your anxiety. It's not your job to deal with your fear. For Paul writes to Timothy and he says, God did not give us the spirit of fear. So fear is spiritual. The spirit of fear. He said, this is not from God. But God gave you something else. God gave you the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now, if you live in power, you live with love in your heart, and you live with a sound mind, that is pretty much the opposite of anxiety. Because anxiety is, I'm fearful. Does God love me? Does anyone love me? Does my husband love me? Does my family love me? Why do not anyone love me? I'm not good enough. And then you sort of start spinning, and your mind starts spinning, and your mind goes to places where it's not good for you to go. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you're in depression. You're in anxiety. And things happen in your life because God said, this is not the spirit that I gave you, but I gave you a different spirit. I gave you the spirit of power. I gave you the spirit of love. I gave you the spirit of the sound mind. That should be good news for all of us. Because happy and healthy starts on the heart. It starts on the inside. So this the title scripture for this series is Acts 13:52. It says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now this is the same Spirit that says, this is the Spirit which God gave you, the Spirit that is not fearful. It's not the spirit of fear. It is the spirit of power. Because Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. If you live without the Holy Spirit, it's like driving a car without petrol. You'll go down the downhills when everything is good. Yeah, Jesus, praise God, life is good. But as soon as you hit, not even an uphill, as soon as you run out of momentum on the straights, you're going to get depressed. You're going to feel like, where's God? What's happening? What is this all about? You need fuel. You need power. You need to be switched in, plugged on. You need to go for it with God. You will receive power. The disciples were filled with joy. I like it, man. God really wants us to be happy. God really wants us to be happy. I'm going to show you another scripture now, but joy there is kara. And that is the same, the root word of kara is kairos. And this last week, I don't know if I explained it exactly right, but kairos takes you to joy. But kairos also takes you to charis, which is grace. So if you start with kairos, you can get to joy, and you can also get to grace. Because guess what? Good news should make you happy, amen? We had a birth of a little baby in our family. Natasha's brother, not him, his wife. That is good news. So what happens? There's joy. There's happiness. There's love. So good news should bring joy, happiness, and love. It should impact us. So, Acts 28:23. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging. So this speaks about Paul. Paul went around the world, and now he's sort of between Jerusalem and Rome, and he's actually under house arrest. And guess what? He rents a house. So there's nothing wrong with renting a house. I thought that would speak to someone. He rents a house, and he's under house arrest, and he has to pay his own rent. But now he uses that situation and he brings people, he invites people to him where he's living at his house, and he explained to them and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. So he says, I'm under house arrest, I'm paying my rent, but I'm going to use this time. I'm going to bring people over, and he does a few things. The first thing that he does is he testifies of the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of us know about the kingdom of God, but do we really know what it entails? Do we know what the kingdom is about? Because we build kingdom and we work with other churches and we build kingdom and it's all about kingdom and Jesus is king. But do we really know what is the state? What is the mission of this kingdom? You see, every kingdom has a mission. The Roman Empire was not a kingdom, it was an empire, but there was a mission. There was something that they set out to do. Alexander the Great, he set out to do something. He had a mission. What is the mission of the kingdom of God? What is it that we bring to people? And he spoke to them, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses, now that's the first five books of the Bible, and the prophets, and we looked at it last week. Paul did it because Jesus did it. On the road to Emmaus, he showed himself in the Word, and that's what you should get if you didn't get last week's message. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. Again, I was like, wow, Paul couldn't convince everyone, so probably I won't either. Amen? So that does not mean I'm going to stop. Friday afternoon, I went to a certain DIY store, and the lady that was helping me came crippled. She was literally limping. So my heart goes out to her because this lady is on her feet the whole day. And she obviously not happy and not healthy. Amen? I'm in the series. No, I'm in this life. This is not just the series. This is how we do life. So I connect to her. I speak to her. And I said, sure, ma'am, I can see you're struggling. Your foot is sore. And she said, yeah, no one really knows how bad it is. And she's really struggling. I'm like, can I pray for you? She said, no, I don't think that will work. I was like, whoa, okay. I wasn't ready for that response. So I didn't pray for her, still connected to her, was nice to her. So not everyone will want what you have. But guess what? I also went back, and Natasha and I spoke through it. I'm like, next time I'm going to be better. Next time I'm going to have an answer. Next time I can say maybe something like, well, Maybe you don't think it's going to work, but I often see it work. So what do you have to lose? See, if we never try, if we never step out, then we never learn. Then we never bring kingdom into those situations. So, he persuaded them, but not everyone wanted. Some disbelieved. Verse 25, so when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul and said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of his people have grown dull. Now that's again a plug into the previous series which we did about the flow, which was all about the gift, the water, the living water that flows from your heart. You don't want a dull heart. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts. Not with their minds, with their hearts. And when the disciples who walked to Emmaus with Jesus, they said, did not our hearts burn? You see, it should go further than just the intellectual knowledge. You're going to come and you're going to come into that fruit of the Spirit with Greg Moore, and you should really come. It is awesome. He's going to break open meekness. You think you know what meekness is, he's going to break it open for you. And you come and you get the head knowledge, but as you live, a week later, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, all of a sudden, there's a burning in your heart. You see someone and you realize that's the fruit of the Spirit. That is something that was activated in my life. There's a seed that has now germinated. Now it's not just in my head. It comes in through my head, but it goes and it finds its place in my heart. And I add water to it. I keep it there. And like Mark 4 says, all of a sudden, there's a germination. All of a sudden, the fruit starts multiplying. And there's more than enough for you. And there's more than enough for those around you. Lest you should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So, again, there's a prophecy from Isaiah here, and it brings in healing. Now, we're going to have an awesome healing service. We're going to have healings throughout this series, but we're going to have a Sunday where it's going to be healing service, and you're going to bring people, and you're going to bring your sicknesses, and we're going to deal with it. But I just really feel like God is setting it up. God is just dealing with our hearts. God is just filtering into our hearts the goodness of God, the nature of God, the trueness of God, and then we're going to see amazing, amazing miracles happen. Because there's just a door to your heart that God just wants to get into that door, and there's certain keys that you might not even know how to get into your own heart. And he's giving us keys because he says, if they turned and if they understood in their hearts and turned to me, then I could heal them. There's something there. Because God says, I want to heal people, but it's not just up to God. I remember praying for sick people, and God, if it is your will. Because you're just scared it's not going to happen and you're going to look bad. So you just put that insurance. No, that's a prayer of unbelief. That's not a prayer of faith. And James says the prayer of faith will heal the sick. So we need to know that the condition of God, the nature of God, the goodness of God, the love of God. We need to know the power of the Holy Spirit that works in me and through me. And then we'll be able to speak to people, open their hearts so that they can turn to God, not to me. I'm not the healer. Jesus is. I'm just got the jumper cables. Amen. So if you take jumper cables, I like to touch them together. So I, me, you, the believer, we lay hands on the sick. We are the jumper cables. We're not the source of the power. Have you seen if you don't plug it into a battery and you do this, it's boring. Nothing happens. Like click, click, like. But as you get power, as soon as you plug in, all of a sudden there's sparks, there's opportunity, there's life. So we need to be plugged in to the source of power. And then we bring life when we lay hands on the sick. A battery, a dead battery. We think the kingdom is complicated. Use this analogy. A dead battery, a dead person. Same thing. Plug into the power source. Lay hands. Bring life. You know what Jesus did? He never prayed for the sick. He prayed, but he never prayed for the sick. He comes, Peter's mother-in-law. What does he do? He kicks everyone out. We are too ordentlich. We're like, no, shame, it's the family. And do we want to see that person heal? Do we want to get them raised from the dead? Do we want to see them recover? What is best for the family? If there's unbelief in the room, kick them out. Then Jesus goes and he prays. He doesn't pray for the sick person. He doesn't pray for the dead person. He prays. What's he doing? He's plugging in. He's making sure of the source. He's making sure that those jumper leads are on. He's praying. He's stirring up his faith. He's knowing that it's not me. It's the source. It's the Holy Spirit working in me and through me. And then he goes and he gets up when he's full of faith when he wakes up. I mean, not just Jesus, you too. But sometimes you just need to get it into your mind that you're full of faith. And then he goes, lays hands on the sick. So there's a lot in there. How he speaks. They're not dead. They're sleeping. What is he doing? He's belittling the challenge. Just belittle your challenge. Start saying, it's just cancer. I mean, really? What happened? Oh, it's cancer. It's stage 4. We've seen that healed. We've seen that healed. Jesus can do that. It's a piece of cake, like Carly says. Healing is a piece of cake for Jesus. I had a good piece of cake last night. It wasn't hard work, I promise you. It was good. And then when there's healings and things happen, then there's life. So belittle your problems, increase your faith, and then just zoom in on the right thing. You know, pictures. I really didn't know where this message is going to go this morning. I've got about 3 messages worth of notes, but God is digging something now. If you take a photo, you can either focus on what is in the front of the photo and blur it what's in the back, or you can blur what's in the front. Now, this is not just your phone if you know do proper photography. You can either focus on the back and blur the front, or you focus on the front and blur the back. Are you focusing on the sickness and blurring the goodness of God? Or are you blurring the sickness and focusing on the goodness of God? Same picture. Same picture. Just your focus that changed. Financial things, the same thing. Are you looking and zooming in on the riches of heaven? Because my Bible says, according to his riches, he will supply. Or am I just zooming in on this red line and everything that is below it? You can either focus and you can say, God, just give me a piece of your road. Just give me some offcuts there. I mean, it's gold, by the way. It's where we focus. It's what we zoom in on. It's how we focus. Therefore, verse 28, let it be known that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great dispute among themselves. Now, the Jews didn't want Jesus, but they didn't want anyone else to have Jesus either. They wanted the big crowd. Jesus got the big crowd, so they didn't really want him, but they didn't know what to do with him. A lot of people are like that. They don't want you, but if you're successful now, all of a sudden, they don't want you to be too successful. This is also a check for your heart. If someone gets a big bonus, a new car, something great happens to them, how do you react? Are you happy for them? Or you're just like, oh, why not me? When is it my turn? You should be excited. Wow, God can do it for them. If God can do it for them, he can definitely do it for me. Praise God, hallelujah, there's more than enough in heaven. You see, if we have a lack mentality, there's only so many healings. It's like when you go on super tubes and you get these elastic bands, and every elastic band is one slide. And we think that when God hands out those elastic bands, if God wants us to have fun, then there's only so much that goes around. And then there's only like, I only have 2 more. I only have 2 more. No, there's an unlimited supply. Gary, I had a word for you in worship, and I saw you as a little boy, but like with your face, like mature, in sweets from heaven. Now that's a good word, amen. And I just felt God say, and I think this linked to your word, I felt God say that don't hold back. Now, I know when I went to sweets from heaven, I only had a little bit of money. And you know it's expensive in there. So you only take 2 of these and 3 of these and a little bit. And then your parents would say, like, rustig, no, you know, because they know they're going to pay for it, amen. And they know what it costs. And it's all emotional. That's how that whole thing is set up. But I just felt God say, don't hold back. Just take all of the goodness of God that you can. There's an unlimited supply, and it will, I mean, if you eat too much sweets, you get stomach ache, or you fill up, like Christian said, you feel bad. But with the word of God, with the goodness of God, the more you have, the more you want to have. The more you get into the word, the more you want to get into the word. And I just really felt, God said, just go. Just take all the sweets from heaven. Because, we know the real sweetness comes from heaven. Verse 30, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house. There you go, that's it. And received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. If you rent the hall, No one can tell you what to preach. If you set up the meeting, you preach the message. Paul preached. What did he preach? He preached the kingdom of God. Paul taught. What did he teach? The things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So he preached kingdom and he taught the things. That's a plug-in for last week again. The things. What's the things that you're focusing on? What's the things that's in your heart? Is it the things of the world or the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then he said, he preached the kingdom. Now I asked you this morning, what is kingdom? What is kingdom? What did Paul preach? What was he on about? Romans 14, verse 17. Who wrote Romans? Paul. Paul wrote Romans. Paul was preaching kingdom. So Paul knows a bit. He says in verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Seems to be a theme here this morning. So church, this is not about the bride, but the bride's going to be fun. Amen. Not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is about righteousness. The kingdom is about peace. The kingdom is about joy in the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:52, where we started. They were filled with joy and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is happy. The Holy Spirit is happy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Remember I said last week, I was 10 years old and I was looking for joy in the church. I found it in 2012. Okay, long way after I was a 10-year-old boy. But my heart, my inside man knew that God equals joy. Otherwise, I'm out. Otherwise, I'm out. I mean, there's different ways. No, there's no other way. Because Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. But I stuck and I sat and I knew somewhere in here, there must be joy. Because this is the answer to the world. And my God is a happy God. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God, brings righteousness, peace, and joy. Now look at this. This is beautiful. It says, joy is part of your royal inheritance. I like that. Joy is part of your royal inheritance. You've got a royal inheritance. You're heir of the king. Joy is part of what you get. We should be the happiest people. Happiness is maybe not joy. Happiness is something else. Happiness comes and goes. I almost want to look first when I speak about the Springboks, before I speak about the Springboks. Happiness is if we beat New Zealand yesterday. But guess what? We're still in joy. Because joy is spiritual. Joy is not circumstantial. Joy is not based on your where you live, what the circumstances are, what increase you get, whether it's bonus time or not. That's happiness. Joy is something substantial. Joy remains. Because joy is spiritual. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go if the box win or lose. Happiness comes and goes. Joy stays. Joy is spiritual. Okay, joy is part of your royal inheritance. So there's three parts to God. There's the Father, there's the Son, and then there's the Holy Spirit. Now look at this. The righteousness, what is the kingdom? The kingdom should have three parts because there's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom is righteousness, the kingdom is peace, and the kingdom is joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit. So the last one, Paul sort of gives away. Righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. In who? In Christ. You are just as right with God as God is with himself. That is the righteousness of God. You are just as right with God as God is with himself. I like that. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The righteousness of the kingdom, that's God. The peace, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. Who said that? The Son. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We're looking today at the cure for fear and anxiety, the peace of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The kingdom is righteousness, peace. God the Father brings you. Gives you righteousness through Christ. That will work together. The Prince of Peace gives you His peace, different to the world.
Yeah, but Peter, you don't know my debit card, my credit card, I need to service my car, I need to go to the doctor. It's not as the world gives. A lack of circumstances does not equal peace. The presence of God equals peace.
Amen. And then joy in the Holy Spirit, Romans 14:17. Joy in the Holy Spirit, the kara, the kairos, the happiness. In is there an awesome word? In, we just read over it, like in the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm like, wait, where's in? I thought the Holy Spirit is in me, but now it says joy is in the Holy Spirit. The word there for in is a primary preposition. It denotes a position, a place, a time, or a state. So it means when you visit whoever you don't like to visit that much, I won't fill in the blank for you. You're there in time, you're there in your presence, but you're also there in state. You're like, yes, I want to go home now. I mean, really, there's better things to do. When you're in the Holy Spirit, He wants you to be there in time, in place, and in state. Like he really wants you to be there. You're there, but it's not a grudge thing for Him. It is in Him, in the Holy Spirit. It's where you are, it's your position. It is what time you're there, which can be all the time, and it's what state. It is also referring to a relation, and watch this, of rest. So joy in rest in the Holy Spirit. When we find rest in the Holy Ghost, we find joy in our hearts. Because when you're not in rest, you cannot really be in joy. Because you're going to be in striving, you're going to be in trying, you're going to be in working. And you can have joy in working. I have a lot of joy working. But I should work from a place of resting in the Holy Spirit. I posted something on Facebook last night that I read, and it basically says, don't be afraid to take a humble position, because a humble position makes it God's work to get you to where He needs. Even if you have a calling, even if you have a dream, don't force it. Don't push your way up, because if you go and you take a humble position, you become a servant, and God lifts you up, then you know it's from Him. But if you force yourself, Jesus said, don't go and sit at the high places of the table, because it's going to be humiliating. You see how we take that and we think, yeah, Jesus was just a hard taskmaster. No, Jesus was taking care of the disciples. He said, listen, like if you say to a child, I really don't want you to be humiliated. So if you go to that meal, just go sit at the back, because it's much better for you to be called to the front than when you're in the front to be saying, listen, please, can you go sit in the back? It's not because God doesn't want you to sit in the front. It's not that. Don't get that out of that scripture. Get His heart. His heart is for you. His heart is to spare you humiliation. So when we are like that, there's a place of rest and we just go and God pulls us up. Philippians 4:1 says, therefore, my beloved, you need to listen when God says beloved because He's speaking to you. And long for brethren, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. So Paul writes and he opens this chapter in Philippians and he writes to the church in Philippi. He also writes to his partners, the people who supported him. And he speaks to them as the beloved, I long for you. And then he says, you are my joy and my crown. Now remember I said that you have joy as part of your royal inheritance. Paul says, you are my joy and you are my royal crown. It's not the things of the world, it is the people. It is the people in the kingdom. It's not the things in the kingdom. And I think that's what God wants to get into our hearts. It's really about the people. That is true joy. True joy is not found in things, but rather in doing the will of the Father and seeing people being added to the kingdom of God. You can get happy with a new car. You can get happy with a new job. You can get happy if we win the World Cup. But you will never find joy unless you see someone receive Jesus and their eyes go on and the Spirit lights up in them. That is joy. When I share a message, I get so excited because I see the lights go on. That is my joy. That is my crown. That is what I want. And that is what God wants. We are called to encourage, to stand fast in the Lord. My crown and joy, stand fast in the Lord. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. We don't rejoice in what is happening to us. We cannot rejoice in our circumstances. What is happening to us? If you live by compliments,
and praise, you'll die by criticism and critique. If you only live by compliments and praise, that's nice. Oh, people like what I shared, or people like what I did at work, or they really like my project, my group was happy with me. If you get your energy from that, if it turns bad, or if you don't do as well the next time, then you're just going to be depressed. So we cannot live by that. We need to live by what God says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6 is awesome. It says, be anxious for nothing. Now, yes, Peter, I know that is in the scripture, but it's not that easy. I know. That is what we are speaking about today. It's easy to read this, but at least we can realize that if God said it, it's possible. So let's just start there this morning. Let's just give ourselves hope that fear and anxiety is not from God. For God did not give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Let's give us hope that joy is part of our royal inheritance. Let's just for a moment realize that when God says something to us, it's not unfair. It is for our benefit. So he says, be anxious for nothing. And then he says sort of how to get there. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You go walk, and you go walk in Somerset Mall, and you feel like the poorest man on the face of the earth. It's designed to make you feel like you need what they want to sell you, by the way. I worked in retail for a bit. It's designed like that. They want you to have what they want you to pay for, obviously. You go, and you're going to Solaris Pass, or you're going to those areas, and you feel, all of a sudden, like the richest man alive. And you become thankful, because you start to change your focus. You don't focus on what you don't have, but you focus on what you do have. Anxiety often comes from things that we don't have, or we're not there yet, or the church is not as big as I thought, or I thought by my 30s at least I would have my own business, or I would have a bigger turnover. You focus on what you've got, you don't have, and then all of a sudden anxiety creeps in. But rather turn it around and just focus on what you do have. You do have the Holy Spirit. You do have life eternal. You have God living on the inside of you. You've got the Word. And guess what? You don't just have the Word, but you've got the Spirit of truth. You've got the tour guide that's going to take you through all of this, and it's going to come alive. It's going to be awesome. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost. You've got the fruit of the Spirit. You've got the provider, which is God. You had an awesome week. We just saw 6 kids get saved in Solaris Pass last week, Sunday. We've got 43 kids saved in Brackenfell. You are all part of it. You are all part of it. Because we're a family. We're on this mission together. There's things to be thankful for. And all of a sudden, when you start to be thankful, your faith rises up. Jesus, standing there, 5,000 men. Now, if you've seen 5 men hungry, you know 5,000 is quite intimidating. 5,000 hangry men. Hungry and angry. They usually go together. He takes 2 fish and 5 loaves. And he does not curse that. But he thanks God for it. He knows it's not enough. He can very quickly go into anxiety. Wow, what are we going to do now, God? These people, they're going to probably want to stone me. Turn it around. Thankfulness. Bless it. Anxiety leaves. Miracles happen. Joy to their faces. Leftovers, more than enough. There's a process to these things. And the process is all in the Word. In everything, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, oh, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. For me, that's the key part of the scripture. You don't need to understand it. You don't need to solve the problem. You don't need to have it all figured out. You don't need to know where that money went that you are now in debt for. You don't need to understand it. But you can be in peace. And then you're from that place of peace, you go and pray and say, God, please show me. Where was I wasteful, or what happened, or why did my car break down? Because you didn't service it for 3 years, my son. Please, next time. So then wisdom kicks in. But when you're anxious, when you're fearful, you cannot live with a sound mind. That scripture in Timothy, it's so obvious. Like when you're in fear, you cannot operate in power. You cannot operate in love. You cannot operate in a sound mind. If you are fearful, you're going to be stupid. Literally, there's no other way to say it. When you're in fear, you make stupid decisions. You can live on, what is it? Veg of vlug. Adrenaline. You can live on it for a bit, but you cannot live on it for an extended period. You were not created to live on that for extended time. Your body cannot handle that. In a moment, you can make a good decision and you can either get in or get out. But you should not live there. You should live in rest. And then when you're in rest, fear goes away. Power, love, and a sound mind. And all of a sudden, with less work, with less effort, more increase. Because you're doing things God's way. And anxiety goes out the door. It surpasses understanding. I like that. I like to understand things, but guess what? The peace of God can come, and I don't need to understand why. It will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anxiety is often in the heart. Fear comes from the heart. It's a spirit thing. Because out of your hearts will flow rivers of living water. But if it is anxious and fearful, then it's not going to be a living water. Or there's not going to be a flow. You might have some bitterness come through. You don't need to understand in order to be at peace. The lack of anxiety is not based on the lack of bad circumstances in your life. The lack of anxiety is based on having Christ Jesus on the inside of you. Anxiety is just a lie. Just give Jesus full access and he'll sort it out for you. Acts 26:2. Paul says, I think myself happy. I like that. I think myself happy. I don't spend myself happy. Hashtag. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. Meditate, stay there, think on it. How can I think myself happy? I think on these things. When we started to speak about the Cape Flats and we met with some pastors and we're going to get involved, I went and I wanted to do some research. I did about 10, 15 minutes worth of research and I realized very quickly this is not stirring faith. I don't need to know how all of that chemosh works. I need to know Jesus because Jesus is the light. When I switch on the light, the darkness leaves. I don't need to understand the darkness. I just bring the light. I think, and I thought about this scripture. I was like, why am I uneasy? Why am I not happy? Why am I not I was in faith when we met with these guys, and now all of a sudden, I can feel like there's a drag. There's like, wow, this is too much. It's too big. It's because I wasn't thinking on these things. I was thinking on the bad side of things. But now we think on what is true, what is noble, what is just, what is pure, what things are lovely, whatever is good. And there's virtue. Virtue is life, and it brings us praiseworthiness. Whatever will stir praise in you, think on those things. Meditate on that. Wow, God is good. The kingdom of God, peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I want to conclude, and I just want to show you this in action. I want to show you this in action. I'm going to just paraphrase the story of Gideon a bit. So Gideon is in the wine press. 7 years, they're under the oppression of the Midianites. And finally, after 7 years, they realize we cannot do this by ourselves. How often it takes us a long time to realize that. Amen. Just realize it's not up to us. And they turn to God eventually, and God delivers them. But Gideon is basically in a wine press, and he's not making wine, because there wasn't wine to make. Because every time they sowed, the Amalekites and everyone around them would come. This is so evil, and the devil often works like that. You just sow. They let you do all the work. And just after they've sown, they would come and just cause havoc. So they let you do all the work, spend all the money, make the investment. He waits for that. And then the world comes and kicks them in the teeth. So there's nothing really much. They're very poor at this state. But Judges 6 verse 10 says, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites. And I want to share with this. This I felt really as a prophetic word for us. Do not fear the gods of this world. Do not fear. That's how God introduces himself. He says, I am the Lord. Don't fear the world. God is bigger. God is stronger. God is more than what's going on in the world right now. So you need to take that. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. Do not fear the false gods of this world. And then verse 12 says, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. Verse 13, God said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And I believe that's a question. When I prepared this, I believe that's a question in your hearts. If God is with us, if we hear this message every week, why are bad things still happening? If God is with us, why do we not see the breakthrough? Why do we still see whatever barrenness we have? Why do we not see the breakthrough? And where's all the miracles which our fathers told us about? When is the next revival? When is things happening? And what is going to happen, God? Because we just hear about these things. Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Now, what is interesting, I'm not going to go into the detail. The angel shows up. The angel speaks. And then you look in verse 14, says, and then the Lord turned to him. Not the angel speaking anymore. Now, all of a sudden, God is there and the angel, but God is speaking. Go in this might of yours. What is this might? Just before he said, don't fear, for I am with you. That is the might in which we operate. That is how we live. God is with us. Hebrews 13:5 says, God will never leave us nor forsake us. The context there is, be content with what you have, because even if you don't have a lot in the physical, you have God in the spiritual. So be content. You have enough. You always have enough if you have God, and God not going anywhere. That is the power. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hands of the Midianite. Have I not sent you? God sends us. God calls us. God says, mighty man of valor, mighty woman, stand up. Let's go. Let's get out of debt. Let's get out of anxiety. Let's get out of fear. And then we're like, yeah, God, we don't really see it. And when's it happening? God said, I sent you. Have not I sent you? Where God guides, he provides. Provision is for the vision. Where God guides, he provides. Have not I sent you? Who are we that God sends us without taking care of us? Who are we as children of God? It is the goodness of God that brings man to repentance. It is when we show fruitfulness in our lives that God gets the glory. So why would he not give you those things? He gives you his Son. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you all that power. He gives you himself. Why will he not surely give you all things? Then it says, oh, you of little faith. It's no longer the angel speaking. Verse 15, so he said, oh Lord, how can I save Israel? God just told him, it's not going to be you, Gideon. It's going to be with that power of me with you. That's how we do it. Maybe you feel like, how can I get out of this? How can I beat this depression or this anxiety? How can I beat this sickness? It's not about you. It's about God with you. How can I? It's not about me. Indeed, my clan. And then he goes on and he tells him all the weakness. He gives him his CV, which is pretty bad. And the Lord said to him again, surely I will be with you. Surely I will be with you. Hear God say that to you this morning. No matter what, no matter where, no matter how, surely I will be with you. And you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he says unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight. Oh, this is so good. Then show me a sign. So he says, okay, God, I hear you, but I want a sign of grace. I want a sign of grace. This is under the law. This is in the Old Testament. But Gideon said, I'm not going anywhere unless you give me a sign of grace. I like this. Verse 18. So 17 comes just before 18. So look at Gideon. His understanding is Old Testament. He says, God, I want to see a sign of grace, but just wait, I'm going to get you an offering. I want to see you, God. I want to see you deliver. I want to see grace, because that's grace. Grace is God's favor. But God, just wait. I just need to do my part. I just need to bring you an offering. So please, God, you've got other things to do, I'm sure. Just wait quickly. I've got something to give you. Verse 18, do not depart, I pray, until I come you and bring out my offering. Now that's what we always want to do. We want to bring God our part, our offering. God, you called me to this great thing, but let me just give my offering first. And God is restless about this. I like that about God. He's like, he lets you do your part, bring your offering, give your good works. He just sits back like a great dad. And like, it's like when I think kids scribble these amazing oil paintings and the dad just let them finish. Oh yeah, it's so beautiful. And in time, like, I'm definitely not going to put that on my wall. And I think God is the same. He's like, yeah, no, give me your offering, but we'll see where that goes. I will wait until you come back. Verse 19, so Gideon went and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket and he put the broth in a pot. And he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. So he goes and he kills a goat. He brings meat, unleavened bread, broth, which is a sign of the blood. There's a lot in there. And he now brings an offering to God. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat. Now, what are they doing? They're building a sign of grace. They're going to show Gideon something now. So he says, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. Now, that's a sign of Jesus' body on Golgotha. Take the meat, take the unleavened bread, and pour out the broth, the soup, sign of the blood, on a rock. So that is what Jesus, the man, brought to the occasion. That is what Jesus in the flesh brought to the rock of Golgotha. But we are looking for a sign of grace. That is not the sign of grace. That is the man offering, the man part. And then, verse 21, the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand. What is the staff made of? Wood. What was the cross made of? Wood. So all of this is going on this rock. And he puts a piece of wood on it. Because they're doing a sign of grace. And look what happens. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. It's a picture of Jesus. It's a sign of grace. It's a prophetic thing for Gideon. It is a historic thing for us. We bring whatever we can and it's not enough. There's not fire. There's no power. Nothing is really happening. We're laying hands on the sick. We're fighting anxiety. We're fighting fear. We're fighting depression. We give our best. We pour out ourselves on this rock of Jesus. Nothing really happens. Put the cross in there. For it's everyone that hangs on a tree that is cursed. And only when the curse, the tree comes, is the curse removed. Only when the tree comes and the fire of God ignites, all of a sudden there's life. All of a sudden there's power for me to plug in and take my and lay it on someone. And we see deaf ears opened. We see blind eyes see. We see depression vanish in an instant. We see healing happen, manifest. We see joy. We see a sign of grace. Not what we can bring, because Jesus did it all. You no longer need to bring your meats and your bread. We can have that afterwards. You don't need to longer pour out yourself on this rock, because Jesus poured out himself on that rock. He poured out all of it so that we can be righteous because of the offering of the Lamb on the cross. We can be righteous because of the offering on the cross.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.